Hey everybody, it's Dave Hall with Agoge Fitness Systems and the newly renamed Mental Meatheads interview series. Today I have with us on the phone Jennifer Conlon. Jennifer is a part owner at CrossFit Legitimus up in Connecticut, and she's also, I don't know how we haven't met already, she's connected in with all the cool people in the industry. And I'm very pleased to have her on the phone right now. Jennifer, go ahead and say hey.
Hey there, how you doing?
I'm doing really good. I'm glad to have you on the phone today. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your background. Tell us how you got into where you are in the fitness industry.
Right. I have always been kind of sporty, soccer, cycling, hiking, that kind of thing, and actually never stepped foot into a gym until I was 35 years old. I was really into cycling when I lived in the D.C. area and wasn't really happy with my body, so called up a friend or emailed a friend, Jerry Hill, who said he was doing some sort of a boot camp, fit camp thing, and he turned me on to CrossFit, and I kind of went and didn't like it, and he told me to try it again, and I went again and then started heavy lifting, and it kind of sold me on the whole thing when they let me deadlift. After that, I kind of forgot my bike and started working out all the time. I still played hockey. I played like semi-pro roller hockey down in the D.C. area, which was a lot of fun. And kind of just took it from there, and that's why I started going to CrossFit D.C., and I was coached by a guy named Tom Bros, who's awesome kettlebell coach, CrossFit coach, and really became, have this thing about getting interested in things where I want to know the history of them. I want to know where they came from. So, like, I was in cycling. I really love the Tour de France. I wanted to know the history of it, why it started, who were the first guys that did it, the whole thing. And that kind of became my obsession hobby on the side. What is this weightlifting thing and where did it come from? What is this whole fitness culture? The more I got into it, the more I hung around it, the more I wanted to coach and kind of change lives. I know other people have said it, but I wanted to start changing lives, and I was working in an ER outside of BC and kind of got burnt out on seeing sick people all the time. You know, every day it was sick people, and I'm like, there's got to be another angle here. So I explored the coaching aspect, and that's how I got to, that was around 2005, and that's kind of how I stepped in.
Cool. All right, I'm just going to go start because I'm kind of a lunkhead. I'm going to break the rules of social etiquette, especially since I'm supposed to be a good young Southern boy. how old are you, Jennifer?
Yeah, right on. I am 43 years old.
Right on. Okay. All right. So I'm 41. So we're right. That's kind of what I was thinking is that we're chronologically right in the same age bracket. So didn't start really lifting and training until 35.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's for this industry, that's kind of a late start. Certainly that's that mirrors my own experience. I didn't get started until late myself.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned falling in love early on with the deadlift. That's kind of uncommon, especially for women. I think this is awesome, and it's been one of my lifelong goals is to encourage women to lift more. How was that experience? Tell us more about that. What was it about the deadlift that really grabbed you?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, obviously it's progressed from the deadlift to Olympic lifts for me. I really dig them. But I remember my very first deadlift. I remember it was 135 pounds, and I remember getting it and looking at Tom, and I was like, can I go heavier? And he said, yes. And I remember pulling that weight off the floor, and it was 155 pounds. And I took a picture of it, which I have on my Facebook somewhere. And I just remember this amazing empowerment that I felt kind of rage through my body, like, holy shit. And I think that was just the moment for me. I see this picture and I can still feel that same feeling, like, who knew I could do that? So it was like a birthday for me. It was just like, I was like, wow. I told everybody you know, like, I lifted 155 pounds today. What did you do?
Yeah.
That's right.
So yeah, I feel, and you know, it's part of my heart is the whole woman, you know, being women being intimidated by lifting and stuff, and it never was really a part of my thought process. I was never schooled that way, or I'm not sure. I grew up kind of in a, you know, a low income place, so my parents made me work really hard. I worked on farms. Mm-hmm. I worked with my dad in the summer helping him do contracting work. So putting all that weight that I lifted in a pack of shingles on a bar didn't seem like, you know, I was like, okay, it's heavy. If my father wanted me to move this, I would have moved it. So it didn't take away from my feminine, the feeling I have about being feminine, the feeling what I think is feminine, you know, that made me feel even more feminine, strong, you know,
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
you know, what other girls can say they're doing that right now. So that was my first deadlift.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I think that's a very telling aspect of your story is that not only being sporty, as you say, and athletic, but also having a working background, that strength is really kind of foundational for you, and mm-hmm. it's something that is, pardon the overused word, but functional. You know, yeah. So now that you're a trainer and somebody who works with and coaches people, and I imagine that you have a largely female clientele. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with the – I don't want to pick that up because I don't want to get big.
Yeah. Well, I deal with it every day in every way. I think I answer that question at least 5 times a week. Am I going to get bulky? Sometimes I'm a little snarky about it.
I get snarky about it. I pull my hair out. I stomp. I run around the room.
Yeah, I get a little snarky and I look at them and I'm like, really? You think that is our issue right now? And then I tease them. And I use other examples in the gym of people who lift heavier than me, women who mm-hmm. lift heavier than me, women who are here and able to work out more often than I do. And I said, do you not like the way they look? You know, does their body offend you? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, you know, she's got 165 clean and jerk, you know. And so I use physical examples a lot. And I try to read the person who's asking. It is just different for every person who's in it. And then I go through my little rant of, you know, what testosterone does, blah, blah, blah. But then I'm just sneaky. Then I answer the question. I'm like, you got to let it go. If you get bulky, you know, that'll be amazing. If you get bulky by coming in here for 3 hours a week and deadlifting one time out of those weeks and one time out of those days, and by swinging a few kettlebells here and there and working on the dumbbells, if you get bulky, there's something else going on.
Yeah.
So I try to have. The reason that I do get snarky is because it's such a wall that women can't get through. It's such a miseducation, and all this body dysmorphic thought patterns, you know, I'm not skinny enough or I'm going to get too bulky, but, you know, it's fat. It really, truly saddens me. So I try to communicate to whomever I have in front of me at that time in a way that I think that I think they can handle.
Yeah. I think that that what you're saying is absolutely spot on, and it's sort of allowing me to segue into my next question, which is about our industry's proclivity to focus on appearance and use that for the bulk of its marketing drive, and to be the reason for A, getting people into the gym in the first place, and B, keeping them there. What do you think about all this?
It's a slippery slope for me. It's really difficult because the way we look on the outside doesn't mean that we're healthy on the inside. And, you know, people are, again, really misled by that. It's a really frustrating topic for me, in all honesty. I try to reteach, reeducate the people who, you know, let me mentor them and let me be their coach and actually are going to use what I say instead of just listening to my ramblings and be like, yeah, whatever. I try to get them to enjoy how they move more than focus on how they're looking. You know, are you, look what you can do, look how you're moving, look how you're using your body. And suddenly one morning, a lot of the time, I'm happy to say the positive side of that, these people will wake up and say, you know what? I'm not looking exactly like I thought I would look, but I like the way that my legs look. I'm strong. I like that when I put these shorts on, that I feel strong and confident and not embarrassed anymore. So I think it's possible, and it's baby steps to help people understand that. But on the other side, being a business owner, I also have to try to give people what they want without giving up what I believe in. You know?
Yeah, I do.
That's a hard one, brother. That's a hard one. Like, where do you draw the line between selling out to the bullshit that people read and hear and see, but also giving them enough of something so that they keep coming through your door and giving you their time?
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what this is all about? We're trying one person at a time, one workout at a time. We're trying to re-educate people's minds. Even men, women aren't alone in that.
Oh, yeah, no. In fact, it's interesting. So I was talking about this in another interview, and it's something that I've witnessed in my lifetime, is the segue of the male population into this kind of body hysteria that was historically a female domain. So as it's kind of like this counterpoint to feminism, this weird little side effect that occurred that, you know, historically a woman's appearance was essential to her success in life, really, right? I mean, back in the day when before Women's Lib, that you know, you had to be, you know, attractive enough to attract a good husband, right? So as women become more powerful, as women become into societal positions where they don't need a man, right? That you've got a career, you've got your own money coming in. You know, a partner might be nice, but it's not essential in the same way that it used to be, that men now are having to be more competitive, and they're having to be more concerned about, you know, their appearances. I've got daughters. A couple of years ago, through Netflix, we were watching the Little House on the Prairie series, and I don't know if you remember that, but back in the day, Michael Landon was a stud, right? And in the very first season of Little House on the Prairie, Michael Landon hardly ever has a shirt on. I mean, he's constantly just ditching his shirt. And by today's standards, he's not all that hot. Tom Selleck back in the day, you know, was supposed to be, you know, the uber male, right? But again, by today's standards, you know, he wouldn't last a minute. So it's interesting to watch, you know, the male clients who are coming in, who are now showing up with the magazines and saying, you know, I want to look like this. And I'm like, you know, so I imagine you see the same thing.
I absolutely do. I had actually a guy show up one day with a magazine and say, I want to look like this. And I thought it would never happen. Like, I didn't think that day would happen. And I was, after I got over being dumbfounded, I was like, well, you know, well, let's just get you in here 4 days a week. Let's get you healthy. Let's get you eating real food, and let's see what happens to your body naturally. Let's get you to stop smoking cigarettes, and let's get you, you know, let's see what happens. And he, you know, it's a hard one. It's such a different view for a guy. Like, it took a lot of gall on his part, or a lot of balls, actually, and he's brave to come to a woman coach and say, hey, I want to look like this dude in this magazine. I could have just been like, whatever, dude. Not being silly. But, I mean, I kind of heard his request and then tried to, over the course of several months, explain to him, here's how your body's going to look and here's how your fitness is going to change your body. It might not look like that magazine, but I think you can be happy with it, you know, and happy with the fact that you feel better.
Did he stick around?
What's that? Yes, he did stick around. He
good.
I'm not at that time anymore, but he's there definitely working out. So it's, you know, and I've had the ones that don't stick around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
there's
certain ones.
They want something different.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, we were talking before, and you've mentioned a couple of times that fine line of being able to, you know, give your client what they want enough for them to stick around so that you can help change their mind about what they need and still make a living at the same time. It's a tenuous line to walk.
Right. Absolutely.
You talked about your love for the history of what you get into, and I really like the term physical culture that is slowly trying to make a resurgence into what it is that we do. What do you think about that? How do you feel about that term and using it to apply to what we do?
I absolutely dig it, actually. And the reason that I was initially attracted to CrossFit back in 2005 was because it was a subculture. But it was like a little culture of its own. You know, it was a little underground. It was a little different. And I love that word culture because it is a culture. And I love how Chip refers to, you know, as a tribe, your community is a tribe. You know, and absolutely, I think it speaks to our roots. I think it speaks to our souls. And it becomes less of a magazine desire and more of a tribal quest of why we're here and what we're working for, instead of just this superficial, I just want to look better. You know, I love the word culture, especially living up here in Connecticut, where there's not a lot of cultural differences, but there are. The deeper that you get into these communities up here in this rural area, and this physical culture isn't really thick around here. It's not dense, and so when I have the opportunity, it's kind of like to paint my own picture of this tribe that we can create if we work out and sweat and, you know, earn fitness together.
Nice. I like that. So you are in kind of a rural area. How large is the community you're in?
Ooh, I'm not sure how big this area is population-wise. Couple thousand.
Oh, okay. All right. So like just a small little town?
It's a small little town, but we're surrounded by, you know, we have a little city and Hartford, Connecticut, so that's bigger, and we draw from there. It's a very small town, but we get people that actually don't live in the town. We have more people, I would say, don't live in this area, in this town, coming to our gym.
Oh, wow.
There's surrounding areas. There's an area called Avon, an area called Simsbury that surround us, that people, most of our members come from those two areas, which are much more densely populated, not in a city kind of population, but rurally there's just a lot more people.
Is it agricultural up there?
Yeah, absolutely agricultural. About 25,000 is the number I just heard from the background.
So does that mean that many of your clients are agricultural type workers, or I'm trying to get a feel for
No, most of my members work in the insurance industry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Connecticut's the capital of insurance, so Hartford is not too far from here, so most everybody works in insurance.
Okay.
Or things like a lot of industries that make parts for guns and parts for planes and things like that.
Okay. All right. Tell me a little bit about CrossFit Legitimus. I like the name. How did that come about?
Well, because of the little town I was just talking about, and its name is Collinsville. And in Collinsville, there's an old factory that used to make sledgehammers and axes. And they were really well known for their sledgehammers and axes. And people started copying how they were making them. And so they started stamping on the axe and the sledgehammer Legitimus, which is just Latin for legit. So there's a bar downtown that my partners and I used to go to, and we were like, what should we call our gym? And it's called, Crown and Hammer. That's the name of the company. And we looked at it, and we were like, wow, that's pretty cool. And oh, it says Legitimus on the hammer and on the axe. Let's go with that. So we looked up the history of the town and kind of based it all on that.
Oh, nice. I like that. There's a lot of brain there. That's cool. So what does it mean for you that your gym is legit? What does that mean?
That's a really good question, because I like answering that question. What it means for me is that although we are a CrossFit affiliate, because I'm the head coach and, master of ceremonies, I can make it legit because I can put my own spin on it. It's my own palette. It's my stage. I can, and so that's what I feel makes us better. And I know that sounds obnoxious, but you kind of have to think that in the business world, that you offer something different or better than somebody
else. Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like the way that I approach fitness is creative and within parameters of being an affiliate, but still creative. And I believe that Greg, when he started CrossFit and the affiliate started growing, one of the things that I've heard him say in person is that, I'm just supplying you with the stage, and what you do with it is completely up to you, and be an artist with it. And I can completely relate to that. I don't think things have changed that much, because CrossFit represents its owners. It represents each individual affiliate represents its owners and coaches.
Nice. I like that. All right, I'm gonna put you on the spot.
Okay.
What's wrong with the industry at large right now?
With the whole industry?
Yeah, if fitness as a whole.
What's wrong with it? It's driven by superficial and visual payoffs, mostly. And it is not, it's sometimes motivated by less heart than it should be. So I feel like it's misleading and can be off-putting, and it can appear cheap from my perspective of what I see, taking all fitness industries, not just CrossFit, but all the people, kind of shaking out, what's good and what I'm not down with. And I feel like there is a lack of heart and soul in a lot of fitness.
Yeah. I personally have a particular beef with the popularity of certain aspects and how mass culture at large is consuming what we've come to see as fitness and what the industry is supposed to offer. And one of my, one of the things that I signal out and point out and definitely raises my ire is the whole Biggest Loser series. What do you think about that?
Just back up 1 second and repeat that. What is it called?
The Biggest Loser? You're
oh,
The
Biggest Loser.
Sure.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Biggest Loser. It is good and bad for us. It is so cheesy, it makes me want to vomit recently. And not because I'm working out too hard. It's for me, one of my soapboxes is I'm not down with like protein shakes and things like that and supplementation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, Biggest Loser is just a big glass of Progenix. Just fake and engineered and except that, there's two sides to everything, except that if you flip it around, it is motivating people to come into our gyms. It may be the wrong motivation, but then it becomes our job to fix that motivation, which, you know, is part of being a coach. The Biggest Loser is, it frightens me because, like, the first episode of this year, yeah, I watched it because my members are all watching it, and you know, you got people flying off treadmills and people puking in buckets. It was like a bad night at a frat house. It was like horrible. And I'm like, that is not fitness. That is just self-abuse. So, you know, it's a catch-22 for sure. And don't get me going about Jillian Michaels and her whole approach to things. She's anti-bully, but she is just that, a bully.
Yeah, it's funny. I keep making references these days to, did you see Dodgeball several years ago with Ben Stiller?
Yeah.
The whole Globo Gym model of you're fat and ugly because you don't hate yourself bad enough. And we're here to help.
Yeah, absolutely. Great movie.
Yeah. So what's your future hold? What are you looking towards? What are your goals? What are you trying to achieve in the next, I don't know, any period of time? I don't really care. Just what are your aspirations?
My aspirations are, well, you know, obviously to, I always say this, and it sounds cliche to me, but I want to grow my gym, deep and not shallow. I will be very happy if the people who are standing in my gym this afternoon are standing in my gym in 5 to 6 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And for me as a coach, I think it's a balance and an evolution of growing as a person and keeping my eyes open but sticking to my guns. I take a different approach to things than a lot of my community does, and I just want to continue to be proud of myself that way and continue to grow as a person that way, and not get caught up in the fitness industry, as you had said. I would love to see, I really want to do more Olympic lifting coaching. I really enjoy that. And the gym, I really want it to be deep. I want it to be that, not seedy as in a seedy bar, but like I want it to be deep-rooted. I want it to be, hey, that place that you got to go to in Connecticut, you know, there's this gym and there's people there that are doing this stuff and they've been doing it there forever. And there's this lady in a wheelchair that's been coaching there since like... forever.
Definitely, that's very cool. I like that. I read a piece, I still haven't published it yet, but a while back, entitled "The Old Man in the Gym," and that's what I want to be. I want to be that, you know, that white-haired old dude over in the squat rack that people are going, should he even be here? What are you doing over there?
yeah, and I have that little, you know, that little fantasy. Like I watch some of these older Olympic lifting coaches, or just coaches, or you know, in general, that they walk over and they say something to the athlete, and then they go back to their bench, and the athlete makes a change, you know, and everybody's like, oh, saying something.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about your passion for the Olympic lifts, because I have just recently, I'd say in the last 6 or 8 months, discovered those lifts. So I'm not going to talk about me and those lifts because that's embarrassing, but I want to know about your passion for it and why those lifts over any other particular lift.
Right on. Good question. So here's the thing. I have had a hard time in my life with my sports and fitness and stuff, having a governor on my throttle, so to speak. You know, I mean, I'm a former hockey player, you know, soccer. It was just, it's always been balls out. And I've learned over the last several years to, I love pacing. I love beauty. I love movement and technique and form. It's just amazing to me. I like it when things go right, and I learn when things go wrong. And so as much as I love CrossFit, I honestly don't do it myself very often. I do a CrossFit-style workout myself probably once or twice a week because of time and, you know, and just injuries from sports in the past and things like that. And so I sat down with myself, and I was like, you know, I love movement, and I can't do everything. There's so many things. There's, you know, the beauty of CrossFit is that it does bring in so many different elements, and it has awakened so many different things in our community. I like the strongman stuff. I like old school. What's the woman's name with the barbell over her head? I think you talked about her with somebody else you interviewed.
Pudgy Stockton.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw that, I was like, hell yeah, girl. And so
she's awesome.
She is awesome. And so as I started narrowing down and trying to gain a balance in my life of what I wanted to concentrate on, like I used to concentrate on cycling, I fell in love with the Olympic lifts when I finally started kind of going to more certifications and going to more, you know, watching it on the internet and all these kind of things and talking to Coach Bergner. And I'm not great at them, and I'm not expecting to be great at them. But there's something about how technical the movement is and how much I have to mentally focus in order for it to go well.
Mm-hmm.
That feeds me as a person. And so I have a very busy schedule. I coach a lot. So murdering myself and bleeding at every workout is just not healthy for me. You know, so I started just kind of putting my heart and soul into the split snatch for me and the clean and jerk.
Split snatch. That's really old school.
It is. I have my shoulder got hurt playing hockey, and then later on in some craziness that I was doing. But and it's just flexibility works well for me, and it's harder. It's not as smooth a bar path. And I just, so it feeds me. It really does. It just feeds me. It's what I can concentrate on. It's what I can kind of geek out on. And I know you can relate to this as being a coach and an owner and running your gym. Your time is so precious, and your mental, emotional energy is so precious. You know, that when I have time to clean and jerk and snatch and all that stuff, I feel energized. I feel awakened. And so, you know, my goals for it are that I do a couple of competitions a year, just, you know, fooling around with them. We're running one here at our gym at Legitimus, and it's not sanctioned. It's just kind of like come in and, you know, try to break your PR in the clean and jerk and snatch. And it's become, it's like a hobby for me. It's just an empowering hobby for me. I dig it. You know, Coach Bergner helps me a lot, and I've had some great mentors along the way for lifting, and that's my story with the clean and jerk and the snatch.
That's great. I love that. That's wonderful. And that brings to mind two other questions that I wanted to ask you about. Having been a cyclist, and I've had some experience with not being a cyclist myself, but with a semi-pro cyclist who trains up here at my gym and who's I've been friends with for a long time, I see this propensity particularly within the endurance sports, that there's this battle between will and ability, or will and skill, that there's a certain point where, you know, some of these athletes are as successful as they are because simply they've been able to expand their tolerance for discomfort greater than say somebody else's. Is that something that rings true for you?
With training people, yeah, in those communities specifically, you know, endurance and cycling, absolutely. There is nothing fun about sitting on a saddle for 120 miles. You don't get a bike on Monday and, you know, have a comfortable saddle by Wednesday or Thursday. Absolutely, and I think it is kind of time in the saddle, so to speak, and time in the pain cave, and working up that tolerance to suffering. And I think that there's a lot of different philosophies out there that work for different people. You have to retrain your brain or find different pathways that the pain doesn't affect them. The physical pain doesn't affect them emotionally or spiritually while they're on their bike, so they can continue on and you become more immune to it. I loved how, you know, I'm an advocate of Jim Jones' philosophy. I mean, he trains some major cyclists out there. And I mean, I don't know if you've ever done some of his, you know, workouts or done some of his programming, but, you know, it's not my bag because I don't like endurance anymore. Like, I want to lift heavy and slow.
He's angry. He scares me.
He's actually nuts. He is a little, yes, his fight is very angry. And then, you know, CrossFit Endurance, and I'm very involved with CrossFit Endurance, actually, right up the road here for me and my good friend Max Wunderly, who teaches for CrossFit Endurance Certs every weekend all over the place, you know. And once we wrap our head around how you need to go about achieving endurance, it all kind of boils down to the same thing. How can you trick your body into dealing with the pain? Small bites, big bites, you know, all of the bites in between, you know, absolutely. And they're hard bunch to train.
In my experience, because it creates this difficulty in, you know, he's like, look, I got it over my head. I'm like, yeah, but the way in which you did it is going to tear your body up and over the long term. There are optimal pathways that we can work with, and that, my friend, was not optimal. And and trying to figure out how to make that, you know, transition from, look, you know, I know you can probably handle more weight, but maybe we're going to back off here so that we can work some new motor patterns. And that's my difficulty, is getting them to scale it back
a
little
bit. They want to go fast and heavy and progress before they're ready to progress, kind of idea. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and because they're so used to, you know, just shutting off their body's feedback system and just ignoring those pain signals, that they can't have a proper dialogue with their body to learn optimal movement patterns, because they don't feel it when it feels good versus when it feels bad. They just, you
and
know.
That's when Coach Conlon takes the video part of my phone and I video them, and then I sit down in the corner after the gym and I'm like, you probably got something out of this workout. Let's look at it. But if you get these movements in a technically sound way, you would get more out of it, which is going to bank more fitness for you, and which is going to get you to where you need to go that in a better way. So I have these talks with people now, and then there is the point where, you know, I have that conversation, and then I get I get snarky again, and I'd be like, dude, you know, that sucked. Like, put the bar down, take the weight off, which I know is hard coming from a woman coach, but, like, seriously, that looked like ass. And then let's slow down. You know, you're not going to go out and ram ride your bike down the road, you know, swinging the bike back and forth, and you're looking for that smooth cadence. You're looking for that good stroke on the, you know, if it's rowing, all of that kind of thing. So I try to bring it back to technique, and I will say that a topic that I kind of get on occasionally, and I used to have a blog, and I'm probably starting it back up, is women coaching men and women mm-hmm. coaching women. And it is a harder sell for me to get them to unload, slow down, work on technique with from a guy, coaching a guy, than it is a woman. You know, it's always the opposite. I want her to go a little heavier,
mm-hmm.
her technique down, now she can put some weight on the bar, now it can move beyond the PVC pipe. And it's a battle. There's a battle there. But I think it can be such a bonding battle when I don't lose sight of, when I don't just want to rip my hair out and be like, dude, you're off the charts. You're driving me insane. There's not a bottle of bourbon close enough for me right now. And so it can be a bonding thing, or it can just drive me nuts.
Yeah. Amen to that. Well, I hope you do start that blog back up. You've got a lot to say. I think that's great. So, Jennifer, if I just happen to be up in your neck of the woods in Connecticut, and I was looking to train over at CrossFit Legitimus or to gather more of the wisdom that is Jennifer Conlon, how would I do that? How would I go about getting hooked up over there?
Well, you just hop on our website, and everything, all of our scheduling and all that kind of thing is online. And then for me, then you just drop me an email. Usually if you email me at Jen at CrossFit Legitimus, and then I talk to you, I typically call people back and don't email because my spelling is atrocious, and I can talk a lot faster. and I usually give people a call and get you in here when it's a good day. And when I'm here, I really like it when people come in when I'm here. Eyes on.
Very cool. Well, Jennifer, I'm not going to take up any more of your time. I really appreciate you spending this time talking with me this afternoon. And I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. All right, guys, this is Jennifer Conlon with CrossFit Legitimus. I'll have her website posted up on the website, and check her out.